Well, good morning, Emmanuel. And thank you so much, praise man. I like that new look. What do you think, Ephraim? Yeah, back there? You're okay with it? Oh, wonderful. Well, it's rally day, so you know what that means, don't you? Summer's over. All but the heat, right? I mean, all the you young parents with the kids running around all summer, hardly seen you all summer. Guess what? You're back. Kids are back in school. Everything is going, pointing toward the future. Sunday school is going on. Confirmation class starts next week. We're having a new sermon series beginning next week. All kinds of new stuff as we plan for the future. And so that's what we're going to be talking about for a few minutes this morning, planning for the future. And you might say, well, Pastor, I don't know how you can plan for the future because que sera, sera. What will be, will be. I mean, it's all locked in. I mean, it's all programmed. What difference does it make anyway? And I would say, you know what? That thinking, that's Muslim. That's what the Buddhists say. That's not what Christians say. And let me tell you a couple things what the Bible has to say about the future. The first thing the Bible has to say the future is that the one first thing, that loving God has a plan in our life, and it is good. Listen to what it says in Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. He says, my plans, my destiny for your life is a good one. That's what he wants for you. Now, you may have had a terrible past. You may have had a tough time. But the truth is, the story is not over. The movie hasn't run its course yet. God says that my plan, my destiny for your life is to be good. That is my preferred plan for your future, that it be good. And the second thing is just as important. Get this. You get to choose your future. You may ask yourself, was that even Lutheran that we get to choose anything? Well, the Bible says we get to choose our future. God gives us a choice. In fact, we can miss out on much of what God has in mind for us simply by making wrong choices in our life. Listen to this passage that's from Scripture. Now remember, God is talking to Joshua. Moses is 120 years old. He has just died. And this young whippersnapper is taking over to lead the Israelites across the Jordan River into the promised land. And this is what God says to Joshua. I set before you today life and prosperity or death and destruction. That's the choice you get to have. Life and prosperity, death and destruction. If you love the Lord your God and you walk in His ways and you keep His commands, then you'll live and you'll increase, and the Lord God will bless you in the land that you are about to possess. He says, but if your hearts turn away from me, if you will not live long in the land that I've set before you, and you get to choose life or death, blessings or cursing. And then he says, choose life. Notice he tells us to do it, to choose life, so that you and your children may live. You know, this next year is going to be the most critical year in your entire life. Did you know that? Everything that is in the past is past. It's over with. You don't get to control the past anymore, but there is some say in what will happen in this next year from now. You'll be going to a new school year, a new school grade. Some of your children will. Some of you will have the opportunity to enter into a new Bible study, into a small group. You'll be involved in maybe a new line of work, or maybe you'll be entering into retirement, or maybe as you're aging gracefully, you're going to find a new pursuit that you will want to do this coming year. Who knows a year from now whether you'll even be in Clovis anymore? Who knows a year from now whether you'll be in heaven or not? We don't know. In 1 year, what will happen to us? But I can guarantee you this, things never remain static. They never stay the same. So how do you prepare for the future that God has in mind for you? Well, I've got some thoughts from Scripture on this. And the very first thing is you need to prepare a plan. That's it. The future belongs to the people who prepare for it. You know, like the old adage says, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Now, maybe you don't realize it, but planning is a spiritual exercise. The Bible has a lot to say about it. The Bible says it's foolish for the person or the church that doesn't plan, not to know where you're going. In Joshua 1, God starts out with these verses. After the death of Moses, the Lord said to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, get ready to cross the Jordan into the land I'm giving you, and I'll give you every place where you set your foot, just as I promised Moses. Now notice a couple of things. First, you're never going to possess God's preferred future for your life if you're stuck in the past. Now, I've talked to some people, and I know some of us are still dealing with issues, baggage from the past. And we haven't ever gotten over it. The most pervasive smell in all the world is a corpse that's there in the room. Most expensive thing in all the world is a corpse that's there in the room. Bury it. Let go of it. Don't look backwards. Start looking forward in your life to what God has in mind for your future in your life. So there may be some things we need to get rid of. We need to let go of. We need to stop doing. We need to bury. You cannot get on to God's future if you're looking backwards all the time. As a matter of fact, all the eras of your life, those wonderful 50s, 60s, the 70s, some of the younger people are starting to wake up, 80s, 90s. Why, what is that? What was that called? Yeah, so, yeah, I can't even remember it. I'm too young. So all of that, we need to bury that. But there's a new era that's coming right now. And then he says, get ready to cross the River Jordan. In other words, we've got to prepare. We need to be specific. And here's where we let ourselves down sometimes. I read recently in a magazine, online actually, that 20% of all Americans have given no thought to the future. Is that you? No thought to the future. I got my job. I'm just coasting through. What'll happen will happen. 3% have given thought to the future and have written down some steps in their planning. Most of the 27% are on welfare. The 3% are successful. Now here's the interesting thing. They found no difference in IQ, no difference in years of schooling, no difference in talent between the 27% and the 3%. It's just that some people were intentional in the planning toward their future life. So the biblical principle, whether you're working, whether you're in school, whether you're retired, is this. Joshua ordered the leaders, and that's who we're talking to today, to go through the camp and tell everyone, prepare the provisions. In 3 days you'll cross the Jordan, and you're going to go in and take possession of the land that the Lord God is giving for you to own. So you plan, you prepare, and then you take possession of what God's giving you. God says, I'm not just going to hand it to you on a silver platter. He says, you've got to plan for it and take possession for it. I think of Psalm 20, verse 4, one of my favorite passages. It's a prayer. May God give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. May God give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. Did you know that's in the Bible? Here's the problem. God can't make all our plans succeed if we don't have any plans. If we're just adrift. So God gives us a choice this day. Life and prosperity or death and destruction. How will we make plans that will succeed? How do we, quote, become successful in life? In Proverbs 16, verse 3, it says, commit to the Lord whatever you do. Then your plans will succeed. If you're doing them on your own without reference to God, they're not going to necessarily succeed. As your pastor, did you know that I pray for you? I have a list of people every morning that I pray for in our church that I know of, members, visitors, others, their prayer concerns. And my prayers for you are dependent on what I know about you. If I know you're having financial struggles, I pray for that. If you're single, divorced, widowed, or whether you're married with young children or now grandchildren, I pray for you and those relationships. I pray for your vocation. I pray for joy in your work, or where need be, that you may find a more suitable vocation down the road. I pray for where you live. I pray for what you do. I pray that you may grow in Christ and in the hearing and in the intake of God's word, that you may might be the spiritual success that God has in mind for you. And to be successful, God's got to be part of our lives. We need to put it in prayer. And so the first step when we plan is that we must build our life completely on God's word. Now, I'm not just thinking of the foundation. All of us have Jesus Christ as our Savior. I would think almost all of us here do. We are here in church because we recognize Jesus has paid the price for our sins, and that when we die, we'll be in heaven, or at least that's what we hope. I'm not talking about Jesus as our Savior. I'm talking about Jesus as our Lord. And there's a big difference. Jesus as our Lord goes beyond the foundation. Jesus as the Lord occupies every room in our heart and in our life. My prayer is that Jesus will become more and more our Lord, even as He is our Savior. And that's the second premise of success in what God is saying to us. God says if we're going to be successful in the future that I've planned for you, you've got to get connected into the Word of God, and you've got to let it pour through every crevice in your body, every place, and not just glance at it. In Joshua, it says this. But God says to Joshua, be careful to obey all, not some, but all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. How do you get to be successful? By staying on course with God's word. It's all right here. If you want to know God's will for your life for this next year, you find it in God's word. The more your life is filled with God's word, with the Bible, the more you're going to know what His will is, and you're going to be successful in following God's will is for your life. Do not turn away from it, to the right or to the left. And how easy it is for us to turn away from it. One summer, we can turn away from where we said we were going to be and get all skewed from where God's word tells us to be. And don't listen to what other people say. Don't listen to what other books tell you. Don't get sidetracked. Do what the Bible says, that you may be successful. So if we seek anything other than the Lord, there is no guarantee of success. Jesus says, if you seek His kingdom, all these other things will be added to you as well. Is seeking His kingdom first in your life right now? If it isn't, if it's second or third, then make it first. It's rally day. It's a time for new beginnings. It's a time for a new year. It's a time for a new era in our life. Make God's word first in your life. And He will become more than your Savior. He'll become your Lord. Now here's the third thing, and it's the hardest of all. To possess your destiny, you must courageously step out in faith. It's interesting that three times God says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Did you hear me back there in the last row? Be strong and courageous. Verses 6 and 7 and 9. And why does God repeat himself three times? Two reasons. First, maybe Joshua was just a bit intimidated by Moses. Wouldn't you be? If Moses had lived before you, been the leader of all of Israel for 40 years, and now at 120 he dies, and now you are suddenly in charge, will the people follow you? Will God still be faithful to you? And that's why God says, Moses is dead, but I'm not. And the miracles that I did with Moses are the miracles that I'm going to do through you if you'll let me. Have courage. Take heart. And the other reason he tells them to do this is because the future won't always be a cakewalk. One thing Joshua can be assured of, one thing the Israelites can be assured of when they cross the River Jordan is that they're going to have battles and blessings. Battles and blessings. And I'll tell you, the one thing I can assure you you're going to have this next year are battles and blessings. Battles and blessings. As long as we're on this planet, as long as we're going toward the promised land, that's what we get on the battles and blessings. But you can be as bold as God allows you to be as you face your future. If it's going to a new school grade, if it's going to college, if it's going on in retirement and having health issues, financial issues, vocational, relational issues, whatever's coming our ways. And there are three reasons why we can be bold going into the future, starting this rally day. First of all, God's with us. Verse 5, no one will be able to defeat you all your life, God tells Joshua. Just as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I will not leave you nor abandon you. So I don't know what the next year or 10 years is going to be like in your life. But one thing I can tell you, if you'll let him, God will be with you. Secondly, God will keep his promises. Now that instills confidence. Verse 6, be determined and confident, for you will lead these people to possess the land I promised to the previous generation. Here I am at Emmanuel, 10 years now. When I came 10 years ago, I was introduced to a group of settlers who had come in from the other church location. And they had all gathered here. And many of them knew about the old Emmanuel. And they took whatever resources they had and built this building and bought the house and some land. And said, let's continue to worship together as Emmanuel Lutheran Church. Now during these 10 years, some and maybe many of those homesteaders are no longer with us. And those that are have pretty much said, the second generation now has to take over. We're getting a little old. And so some of you, many of us who have come in, and we've never known any other church place than this place for Emmanuel Lutheran Church. We don't know about that past, 100 and some years. A lot of us don't even care about that past because we're not living in the past. We're living in now. We're living in the future. We want to know what's going to be happening this next year. And God tells us it's time for us, those new to our church, to become the new leaders of Emmanuel. And maybe you've been worshiping here now for 6 months, a year, 2 years, but all you've done is worship. Maybe it's time to come up and say, Pastor, I'd like to do something. I'd like to help out. I'd like to contribute in some way. Maybe it's time for you to do that. I just think about it. Those 10 years ago that were 2 years old are now in my confirmation class. Those that are 12 years old are now on to college or they're married. Time flies. First generation is older. Second generation, needs to assume leadership. And the third reason is that God has told us to do it. God has told us to go after His preferred future for our lives. God has told us to possess our destiny. He says, have I not commanded you to do this? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. He says, I'm going to be with you as I have promised. Don't you worry about a thing. Now, I don't know what's in store for you in your life this next year. I don't have a crystal ball to say what's going to be happening to you. But I can tell you this. The Lord God has caused us to move through the Red Sea. And as many of us as youngsters were baptized in the waters of baptism through the Red Sea. And we have been made one in Christ. And we have walked along all these years in our wilderness wanderings, being fed by the bread of life. And in and with and under the bread and wine, Jesus' body and blood has been with us, saying He'll never leave us nor desert us. And when things were tough, we had but to touch the rock and out would come the living water that remind us that Christ died on the cross for our sins and rose again. That He's our Savior and our Lord, and that we'll be with Him forevermore. That was then. But it's no longer springtime. Even summer is going to turn to fall. We have passed the Red Sea. We have tasted the manna. And now we're about ready to cross the Jordan. The future of this church, and your future as well, depends on it. It's time to cross the river. But we must move forward. We must seek out the promised land for the sake of our children and our children's children and those not yet made or born. I have but one question left to ask. What's your Jordan? What's your Jordan River? What's the big thing that you have to get over? What's the big hurdle in life you have to overcome? What is it that you have to do to reach your destiny? The destiny that God has planned for you, that wants you to succeed in, being what you should do, given the gifts and the talents you have, what He's made you to be. What is the Jordan River in your life? And then what is it going to require for you to cross the Jordan? What's keeping you in the desert? I want you to name it. I want you to surrender it this morning. I want you to leave whatever is holding you back and leave it before the altar today and determine in your heart you're going to let go of that. All that has crippled you, all that has held you back, all that has thwarted you from being everything that God wants you to be. I want you to put it there before the altar. God has paid the price for it. And I want you to take the step. I'm going to continue to pray for you. And I want you to continue to pray for me. I want you to continue to pray for this church. And I want that prayer to be, as you pray for the person beside you, maybe your spouse, the person behind you, the person in front of you, the person you don't know that's up there a couple rows. Will you make this your prayer too? That God will help us step in the water. That God will help us step in the river today. Let's rise and join together.